So most people are saying, I'd like to learn under you under my schedule. What kind of arrangement is that? Is that person your discipler or the disciple? Is the person the mentor? Or are you the mentor of the mentor? So the person mentor you, but you schedule the mentor. What kind of learning experience is this? People say, where are the spiritual fathers? Where are the submissive sons and daughters? Because there are many people willing to take them under their wings and nurture them. People ask, where are the mentors? People are crying out for mentors. Question is, where are the people willing to submit and learn under the mentors? I mean, people want to follow along, people want to come and learn and all that. Let's say Bible school students, I'll say, okay, you come and see what I see. You run. As long as you're following along, fine, you're welcome. But I cannot adjust my schedule to yours. Almost everyone who have a good heart, who want to teach someone younger, or teach someone who is inexperienced in that area, would tell you the same thing. Welcome. But the question is whether people are willing to learn and hear from the voice of experience. So the voice of inexperience split an entire kingdom, lost a whole kingdom, and Rehoboam goes downhill from that point. Now this principle applies both to ministry and to everything in this life. In the business world, in the professional world, you have to be willing to learn. Now I realize that sometimes you could have bright ideas that your mentor or the person you're learning from does not see. But bite your time and bite your tongue until you have gained and learned everything you can from that person. And with respect, you continue to be able to do the same thing and add your own flavor, add your own ideas. And then you could improve on that which is done. Voice of experience versus a voice of buddy friendship. What a disaster. And that Rehoboam did not hear the voice of experience. Now let's look at the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, and this is more in a non-Christian context, because none of them are really born again, I think. And the place where we look in the book of Acts is the book of Acts chapter 5. And this is the voice of moderation versus the voice of extremism. Because in every decision you make, when you ask advice and you listen, there will always be. You always listen. Now, people are talking all the time. People are giving advice all the time. But you always listen. Which one is really the voice of experience? So, have you noticed that when you watch a tennis game or a football game or a sports game, whatever your favorite sports, that the best commentator is the one who was experienced in that before and now retire, become a commentator? One of the funny things back home in Malaysia, my father has gone home, died and gone home to be with the Lord where he's living forever. And my father loves badminton. Badminton was a big thing in Malaysia. I seldom see them play here. And those days when Malaysia won, was the top of the world before China Indonesia got it. Then China is the top of the world now in badminton. And when Malaysia has been Thomas Cup, I mean, it was a big thing in Malaysia. And as a small little boy, I used to sit around and watch with my father, the black and white TVs. The funny thing about my dad, I mean, he is a rough guy. In a sense, his words and all that. So, you know, he used old words that I would not use when he's rough. And so every time this player makes a bad shot, he says, "Oh, that bloody fool!" and why did he hit that there? And I mean, he was my commentator. He said, "That's a terrible guy. This guy should ring." He was as excited of badminton as some of you Aussie fans at the AFL or whatever. Rugby, yeah, okay. You know, I mean, he was not even there. He was just watching a black and white TV. Think about how exciting those black and white TV were in those days. And he was making these comments and he was very emotional about it. And the only thing was, he was not a badminton player. And I probably played badminton better than him. And so I used to play with my friends in those days. And not very good, I'm better at chess than that. But and I look back at those days, you know, I laugh about it and I realize, you know, some of the comments he make, you know, I don't think anyone with experience will make those comments because he seemed to know the game. He seemed to know how that guy should shoot it higher, lower, short, high, low, no, should have dropped shot instead of sending it to the back line, baseline. Oh, I mean, he seems to know his game. Maybe you should got him to train me, right? But he never played badminton. All he does is, you know, gets this jug of beer. He's really Aussie, you see? This jug of beer and drink until his face turned red in command. And all those people. And then when you listen to someone who really knows how to play, like the former champion Rudy Hartono, oh, his comments are different. He knows exactly where. Or sometimes you hear like gymnastics. It's gymnastics. One of the things that most people like to watch is Olympics, gymnastics. And when they do all those turns and all this. You listen to the commentator who has been one before. They say, oh, that's a triple turn and this is just about to happen. And they seem to know exactly what is going to happen. It's very good. Because they are experienced. The difference is a lot. Experience. And so, we're talking about the voice of moderation and extremism. We're getting there. In the book Acts chapter 5, which you turn to, Acts chapter 5, there's this guy who is quite a gentleman. His name was Gamaliel. And by the way, Gamaliel was Paul's former mentor. Gamaliel was one of the most prominent Jews of his time. Well respected by everybody. Jewish scholar. And so in Acts chapter 5, verse 33, when they were persecution on the apostles, verse 34, Acts 5, 34, one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding this man. Some time ago, Theudas rose up claiming to be somebody. He was slain." Verse 37, after this, Judas of Galilee, and he also perished. Verse 38, "Now I say to you, keep away from this man. Let him alone. If this plan or this work is of man, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God." That is the voice of moderation. What was the opposing voice? Extremism. Kill them! Kill them! That was just in the words before he stood up. Extremism is in two areas. One would be kill them, the other, you know, couldn't be bothered. But the kill them one is bad. I mean, you know what walking in the middle is walking to the right or to the left. The voice of extremism is dangerous. Imbalance. It produces weird characters. And it can produce criminals. Isn't what is happening in the world today the work of extremist people? Yes. Extreme people. So the devil stirs up. The devil likes to use extreme people. Because they are more emotional than they are logical. Easy for them, for him to use and twist their minds. And so the devil uses extreme people to create all the terror in the world that we live in today. Now, we Christians also can be extreme. And extreme Christians have not been a good testimony to the world. I'm not talking about compromise. The voice of moderation, 2A, is not the voice of compromise. It's not compromise. But it's the voice of practicality. Practicality. Pragmatism. Pragmatic Christianity. In a sense, that you learn to find the correct method to bring about our uncompromised gospel. And we see extremism in Christianity all the time. How many times have the anti-medicine move come to Christianity? About 5-6 times. During the early days when healing started coming and the body of Christ discovered the gift of healing and the working miracles, there's a whole group against medicine. And then they falter. Some of them actually died of sickness themselves. And then it died down, Christianity become more balanced, and then you have missionary doctors that accepted Christianity to the extent. Of course, you have some extreme on the opposite who believe that God only healed to the natural and there's no more supernatural healing. That's also extreme, but at least they are not producing fanatics there. They're just, you know, compromises. And then the Pentecostal revival came. And once again, people see signs and wonders. Guess what? The voice of extremism comes out again. No medicine. No natural help. Even childbirth cannot go to hospital. That's the voice of extremism. What's wrong with being in a hospital? How does that, tell me, how does that compromise your faith? They're not healing you. All you have is a nice, comfortable atmosphere. You can even play, you know, Beethoven's music when you gave birth. You know, play the nice symphony. That'd be a very nice welcome for the little child coming up. Yeah, yeah. Okay, okay, Mozart's music, right? Yeah, right. So it's just a comfort level, and if for example, if you're physically, you know, in need of certain services, you know, and you say, oh, I'm gonna go without medicine, you know, well. Let me ask whether people are hypocrites. Some of those who go without medicine, they're not going without glasses. Tell me, is that a compromise? And if I go to their house and do a thorough checkup, will I find some Panadols? Will I find a few things? And then let's push it a bit to the extreme. Since Psalms 91 says no evil come near your dwelling place, get rid of all your locks. Right? You don't need to lock. Just put the Bible there. Write Psalms 91 on the doorway. Don't lock. Yes. Don't lock your doors. Now some of you laugh, smile. Because once upon a time, when I was much, much, much younger, not that I'm very old, when I was an experimentor of Bible truths, I was like that. I grew. More because I got the wrong influence of people. You know, I got one guy who was challenged on scriptures and all that. I got to search and try to find my balance. And I remember the first mission house we had way back in the 1980s when we left the Baptist church. We never locked our house. We also never had a robbery. But we don't believe in locks. Because it compromised Psalms 91. If God protects you and you protect yourself, wouldn't that be inconsistent? Oh yeah. Very clever to argue. Reason. Logic.